Welcome to the Empowerment Zone with Ramona Houston, where we zone in on Black and Brown relations and our journey to empowering our communities.
Thank you for joining the Empowerment Zone. I am your host, Ramona Houston. I am looking forward to this interview. We have Suzette Arnold here. She is a faculty member at the University of Georgia's Carl Vinson Institute of Government, and she has a lot of experience in government training, education, and development. And she is responsible for working with state, local, and online training for government finance programs. But that is not what we're here to talk to Suzette about today. Actually, Suzette has many capacities in where she serves in leadership positions. She's chairperson for the DeKalb Preparatory Academy Charter School, and she's a board member of the Atlanta Montego Bay Sister Cities, and she is an adjunct professor at a local college in Metro Atlanta. But what we're here to talk to Suzette about is she is president of the Jamaican Chamber of Commerce of Atlanta. And so what a delight to have her tell us all about the Jamaican Chamber. So according to Suzette, Jamaicans are not just known for food and music. They also do business. And so
that's right.
We're happy to have her here. Hi, Suzette. How are you today?
Hello, Dr. Houston. Thank you very much for having me. I am delighted to be a part of this program, specifically because it's the Empowerment Zone and I'm all about, you know, female empowerment. So thank you, thank you, thank you for having me be a part of your podcast.
Well, thanks for coming and being a guest. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your work and how you became president of the Jamaican Chamber.
Okay, before I talk about myself, let me just say this in a little plug for my little island, right? We're the biggest little island in the world. So let me throw that out there. Yeah, we're more than just food and music and athletes. There's a lot more about Jamaica that I may talk a little bit about. But I'm from Jamaica, born and raised, moved here in my late teenage years to move to New York City to live with my dad. My parents divorced when I was very young, and after graduating high school in Jamaica at that time, you couldn't get into college unless you were 18 years old or older. And so in those in-between years, according to my mom, I was getting a little rambunctious. So she sent me off to New York, where I grew up real fast.
Where daddy can provide some discipline.
That's right, yeah. And so I went to college there, both my undergrad and graduate studies, and then moved to Atlanta about maybe 16 or so years ago. And while in New York, I spent most of my career in public service and picked that up here as well, working with the Department of Labor for about a decade or more, working with, you know, providing oversight to government funds. And so just based on all of that knowledge of working with social programs and dealing with government finance, transitioned to academia and carried that forward to provide knowledge to government officials, you know, about how to make government work better. Basically, that's what it comes down to. But outside of that, as you mentioned, I do other things. I'm a person who believe in service. That's one of the greatest legacy that you can leave for yourself is to give back. And so I do that in different ways. But moving forward to the chamber, a few years ago, a friend of mine approached me and said, you know, the Jamaican Chamber is going through some transition and I really think that you could help that way. And I hesitated for a little bit because I had so many other things going on. But after going through, you know, conversations, talking it over with my husband, who owns a business as well, we decided that it was probably a good place for me to go to really give back into the community and to be rooted in the community in a different way. And so that's what led to me being president. Now, the one thing I have to share with you is that board, when I joined, was laden with all men. Right?
I was wondering, that was going to be one of my questions, like, what is it like?
Yeah. It was 12 men. men, you know, all Jamaican men, and I was the only female, and I thought, this is going to be real interesting. And so the first thing that I did, I did recommend some changes with which they were open to, was to start recruiting, you know, women in business to be a part of the board, and they responded. And so we have a few other women who are now part of the organization and really putting their shoulders to the grindstone and really working to work with small businesses in the community to help them grow and to also provide knowledge in areas, you know, where they would have weaknesses. We all know small business owners wear many hats, and sometimes it's difficult to mind the store, so to speak. And so we try to give them as much support as we can to be able to do that and for their businesses to be successful.
So tell me, what is the mission and purpose of the Jamaican Chamber? What is the work that you're focused on? What are some of the programs and initiatives and projects that you have?
Thank you for asking that. We're a business-centered organization. Our role is to provide support to businesses in the community. And it doesn't have to be a Jamaican, quote-unquote, Jamaican diaspora business owner. It could be any business owner in the community who needs help. When the organization was formed, it was based on a void that was in our community. And I respond to our community as a minority group within a minority group. And so for a lot of business owners, they had a passion for something, but that didn't necessarily have the business acumen. And so the visionaries who decided to put this organization together recognized that there were many people in our community who were talented and started businesses, and they closed because they just didn't have the business acumen. And so I am now a part of a group to continue that work, to provide a space where they can be comfortable in talking about the challenges that they have and in providing them with the knowledge that they need by finding them resources and people who they can talk with and opening a network for them to be able to share and grow and learn. And so I'm a part of that community who's providing that resource to small businesses who are a part of the chamber, or I should say business owners who become members of the chamber.
So what are some of the support programs that you have, some of the projects, initiatives? How do you support them? Like, what if I'm a business owner and I want to be a part of the Jamaican Chamber, what is the value add? Why would I want to become a member? What kind of services are involved in terms of helping me to grow my business?
Great question. We have mentorship programs where you can sign up to be mentored. You will get someone who will walk with you through the challenges that you have in your business. For some people, they're a little nervous about showing their books, but we're talking about retired business owners who are leaders in industry and they're giving back. We can direct you to access to capital if you need information about getting a loan and where to go to get a loan. Some people sometimes get frustrated, you know, about managing cash flow. We have classes. We have meetings. At our meetings, we invite guests and they come and share knowledge. Over this COVID, we must have had several COVID-19 related meetings, virtual meetings, where we shared information about how to apply for the PPP. You know, we've gone high level and low level as put this information here, use this information there, open a separate bank account, like really getting into the weeds to give the kind of information that a small business owner would need to be able to move forward and to help to relieve some of the anxiety that came with, you know, just the stress of COVID-19. So we do that. So it's really a place where you can network. It's a place where you can get and gather information. And it is a place where you can be comfortable enough to talk about business and challenges in your business, or places where you can get ideas or connections to open a business. So we're not just, in some cases, we even try to cross the river by saying there are investment opportunities in Jamaica. And as a person who may be interested in investing in a project, here's a space that you can go to do that. And in turn, we've pulled things from from Jamaica that we think people here can benefit from and say, hey, I think I want to connect to you. Just recently, I got an email from someone at the City of Atlanta who, you know, they're looking for that connection and those opportunities for nurses. Jamaicans have great nurses. And so she had a training program and just wanted to see how we can make that connection. And so we do that. We provide connections. We provide the space for networking and collaboration. And above all, we provide knowledge. So that's one of the things you'll gain when you come into the chamber.
That's very interesting that not only are you helping people to grow their business, but you're also really making the connection to Jamaica and tapping into those resources as well as providing resources. So it's really an international organization that has the capacity to work beyond borders.
Correct. Yeah. And we see ourselves as the role that we play is to have continuous upliftment, not just for folks here who, you know, I like using this term, who are blooming where they're planted, but also to provide an opportunity for people in that developing country to be able to also get a leg up as well in their development. You know, sometimes it means that they may learn something new because here's an industrialized country doing something this way. And in making that connection, it pulls them forward as well. So it's important for us to keep that connection continuously in play.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
So you touched on it a little, but I really, really want you to expand on it about what it's like to be a female leader rather, mm-hmm. in a primarily male dominated society, which many of us are, male dominated organization, excuse me. What has that experience been like? And you can be as candid as you possibly can.
You know what?
I know you.
Yeah. I had great mentors, female mentors. And I'm literally standing on the shoulder of one giant. And you know a little bit about my life. So you know this. I've watched women in position of power and how they've handled themselves. And I've always gleaned from their interactions with men is that oftentimes we have more power than we recognize. And it doesn't have to be in the emotional side of things. It can simply be by just doing. And so for me, recognizing that there's a difference in our chromosomes and how we think, my approach is to just say, is to just say what I have to say. And sometimes it's just in the delivery. I don't think I've ever had to assert myself in a way that was negative or that would come across as negative. But my communication tends to be clear. And I think the gentlemen that I work with on that board, they're usually very supportive. I mean, we've had a couple who've moved on for various different reasons, but it was never negative. And so for me, I think I'm learning that women are more action oriented. You know, we talk about something, the next step for us is to move and get it done. I find that my counterparts will talk about something and then wait. And so that's the difference between, you know, how I find I do stuff and how, you know, my other colleagues do it. You know, it's like you've got to get that push. And so not that all men are like that, but I find that for us as women, we're action oriented. And maybe it's because we raise families and we do things. So we say something and then we look for action. And so I think that carries through in just how I've seen other women lead, just how I've seen the women I've been raised around operate, and just in reality, nothing gets done unless it gets done, right?
Okay. And so, unless women do it, you know,
right? Exactly.
You're right about that. I mean, we are multitasking. You know, we see the problem and let's get to the action. What is the solution? And
right.
We're just different. That's not to say that men don't act, but we tend to be actors. And if you look at some of the most successful organizations, yes, they may have men in these that have the titles and everything, but they're surrounded by women. Yes.
Absolutely. And I think for a lot of the times, they're often the I'm going to use a term loosely here, they're probably the secret weapon that a lot of people don't see out front, because they're behind the scenes getting things done. It's not that we need to be out front, but I wish, more often than not, women would get the recognition for all of the things that they do. And the fact that, while they're doing it, they're mothers and wives, and they have other responsibilities that they juggle while they're doing these amazing things. So, I would have to say that for me at the Chamber, I'm about getting things done. Yeah.
That's good to know. So speaking of women, you have this conference coming up. The Jamaican Chamber is sponsoring the Power Virtual International Women's Summit on September 19th. And I'm really excited to share this conference with our audience. You're talking about women and being empowered and leadership and all these different aspects of trying to push women out there. Can you tell us about this conference?
I'm really, truly excited about that. And I should reveal to your audience that I did ask you to participate in that conference, and you graciously agreed. So thank you very much for doing that. In my community, we can be a little secular. And what I mean by that is we tend to stick together. People know each other, people take care of each other. But I think it's time for us as a community to recognize that the people on the outside, they probably want to get to know us a little better, and we need to be a little bit more open about that. And so this women conference, and it's an international women's conference, is for us to recognize that there are so many commonalities among women from different cultures and different ethnicities, and that we as a community need to be more open to that. We need to build bridges. We need to be more welcoming. Not that we aren't. I mean, we're Jamaicans are everywhere you can think of. But in terms of learning from other women, in terms of collaboration, in terms of sharing knowledge, in terms of working together. And I want this conference to be a space where we can be able to do that, where we can learn and grow and network. And while we're doing that, learn some things. And so I am excited about the lineup, the speakers, the conversations that will come out of that conference, the topics that will be discussed, and the people who have volunteered their time to do so. I'm just really overwhelmed by the response that we've gotten so far, and I'm hoping that we will have a really great turnout for this, because I think the conversation is very, very timely and poignant for where we are right now today in this, in this environment, socially and otherwise.
What topics will you be covering at the conference?
Great question. So we'll cover everything from women in health, women in education, and I'm looking at my screen here, so forgive me, women in STEM and education, women in business and leadership, women and economic empowerment, because I think it's so important for women to talk about, this particular issue. When we're talking about empowerment, we're not just talking about confidence. We're talking about everything that pulls a woman up to be able to stand out and be independent. And it's not only about money. There are some other things going on there as well. And then there's women, politics, and legislation. We could not have a conference without talking about the role women play in where we are today as a country. And I'm not just looking at the United States alone. I'm looking all over. Women are stepping out and being bold about who they want to be and how they want to represent themselves. And then lastly, we're talking about women in diversity and inclusion. And that particular topic for me is important, specifically because a lot of times when we talk about diversity and inclusion, sometimes people get left out. And I find that there is some hypocrisy around that, but, pardon my expression, and let me tell you what I mean by that. When we talk about diversity and inclusion, we look to the people who find themselves to be marginalized, but we often don't include all the people who are marginalized. And what I mean by that is you have people who are disabled who are often left out of that conversation. And so if we're going to talk about real diversity and inclusion, let's look at this in a broad way and how we contribute to leaving people out of the discussion, and we need to change that. And I think this is a place for us to begin to recognize that diversity and inclusion needs to remove the hypocrisy of that. And so we're going to have someone who's the state advocate for the disabled who will be a part of that conversation. We'll have someone who is a mental health advocate, and we'll have professionals who are, you know, knowledgeable about diversity and inclusion, and who will talk about that whole diversity and inclusion conversation that's happening right now as we look at injustices and, you know, other types of microaggression, etc. So that is particularly close to my heart. I have passion around that because I see it all the time, and I don't think most of the time we even recognize it for what it is.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that concept on diversity, that is more than just racial and cultural background. Mm-hmm. It's more than gender. It also includes other diverse communities. Mm-hmm. So if people, I'm assuming you're still accepting registrations, are you?
We are. Yes, we are. I can give you the website, but I want to also make one comment, if you would permit me for a minute. When we're talking about women and economic empowerment, I fail to recognize the fact that we also want to include young boys to listen to those conversations as well, because I firmly believe, and the team also agrees with me on this, that if you want to break the cycle in something that's connected to women empowerment, you have to let boys see the role that men play in this, and begin to teach them to recognize girls as their equals and not as objects, or, you know, sexual objects, or someone who is inferior because they can't do this because they're a girl. And I think they need to recognize and hear and see women who are in positions and of power and who are leaders, so they are able to understand that the girls who are your peer right now could someday be that person, and you need to accept and recognize that and champion the cause and cheer them on as they pursue those, you know, those dreams, and in the same way you're pursuing yours. And so we're going to also include, you know, young men to be a part of that empowerment conversation as well. Now, I'm sorry, you also asked me a question after that. Could you?
No, that's okay. I agree. I totally agree with you on that. And I'm glad you brought that up, because so many times we have these conversations about justice and equality in our silos, but all of us need allies, and people need to change the way they think as well as their behaviors. And so therefore men, not only women can be champion of other women, but men must be champion of women too. And the only way we can get them in is including them in the conversation. So I'm so happy that you emphasize that this conference is, yes, about the empowerment of women, but it's not only for women, that
absolutely
to be involved in this conversation. Thank you so
absolutely
much.
Sure, and we have included men in the conversation as well. So yeah, I'm, you know, thanks for pointing that out too. If you want to join the conference, we're at POWHER womensummit.com, and that's all one word, no underscore. That's POWHER womensummit, SUMMIT.com. You can start registering now. We are excited to have you. We have some great sponsorship packages as well. I can forward that to you, and you can share that if you want. I can tell you right now, we have corporate sponsorships, and we have platinum, gold, silver, and friendship sponsors. And I don't know if this is going to be too much information to share by just saying it. So I'll just forward it to you, and you can decide to share it with with your network, if that's okay.
Yes, we'll definitely share that. And you can find that on my website, RamonaHouston.com, and it'll be in the podcast section. So we'll make sure that we upload that information if you send it to us. And again, the conference is September 19th. That's only a few days away, and it's mm-hmm. from 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we're really wishing you much success on that conference, and thank you for that vision of having an international women's conference. In terms of the Jamaican Chamber, could you give us information on your website for the chamber and how the audience can support the chamber if they're interested?
Sure. To support the chamber, well, first, you can become a member by going to our website, JamaicanChamberATL.com, and you can join, you know, by visiting our website. But you can also support the chamber by supporting this event. You can support our initiatives. You can volunteer to be a mentor. You don't have to be a business owner to come and be a part of our team. We have people who are just willing to serve, and they serve as mentors, they serve as administrators, they serve in different capacities to help us to grow the organization so that we can truly reach those small businesses who need help. And so if you are someone who has, you have the knowledge and the experience in business, and you want to be able to pass that on to someone else in a structured way, and you want to volunteer your time to be either a speaker or to help behind the scenes to organize and to work with small businesses, we would love to have you. You can send me a note at president@jamcham for short for chamber, ATL. So that's jamchamatl.com. So president@jamchamatl.com. And I will get your information, and we can organize how we can get together and how, you know, we can seamlessly make things happen. So all are welcome. We don't turn anyone away, in spite of the fact that it says Jamaican.
Well, thank you so much, Suzette. Suzette is president of the Jamaican Chamber of Commerce of Atlanta. Thank you so much for telling us all about the chamber, as well as sharing information about the upcoming PowHer conference. We all look forward to participating and supporting the chamber in any way we can. We'd love to have you back whenever you like. The door is open.
I would love to come back. And the next time I come back, I'm going to talk to you about some real Jamaican stuff, right? Today wasn't the day for that, but I'd love to share. You know, I'm proud Jamaican, right?
Okay. Well, when you come back and you share the real Jamaican stuff, make sure you bring some real Jamaican food too with you.
That could be arranged. I'm not saying I'm going to cook it, but that could be arranged.
All right.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Suzette. Thank you.
Okay. Bye now.
Hi. Today I have Suzette Arnold with me. She works in government, and she's a professor. She's a board chair of a charter school, and she's president of the Jamaican Chamber of Commerce in Atlanta. And I'm so happy to have her. She's going to give us a strategy for college success. One piece of advice you think would help students to be more successful in college. So hi, Suzette, how are you today?
Hi, Dr. Houston. Hello, everybody. How are you all doing? As Dr. Houston mentioned, my name is Suzette Arnold. I'm a faculty member with the University of Georgia. I do teach continuing education there, mostly for government finance. I'm still involved in education. I serve as the chair of a charter school, as Dr. Houston mentioned, and I'm an adjunct instructor. So the one piece of advice that I would have for you.
Wait a minute. What school did you attend, or schools did you attend?
Ah, I attended Bernard Baruch College in New York City. It's a city college. It's a part of the city college system in New York. I did both my undergrad and graduate studies there. So I'm a New Yorker at heart. Miss New York sometimes too, yeah. But that's where I graduated from. As I said, doing both my undergrad and graduate studies there. As an adjunct professor, so let me give you advice from that perspective. To be successful at college, I would say the one piece of advice that I would have for you is to be disciplined. Right. Sometimes you're going to have a class that you really don't like, but it's a part of the requirement. You have to do it as a prerequisite. Be disciplined enough to do your very best to do well in that class, because in the end, you will learn something from that you can apply somewhere else. And the discipline that you will need to get you through to the end is something that will become a part of your DNA that's going to take you much further beyond college. And so that one piece of advice that I am going to give you today is discipline is just as important as graduating.
Well, thank you so much. There you have it. Discipline. Be disciplined. No matter what you're doing, do your best. Be disciplined enough to give your best work and put your best foot forward. Thank you so
Absolutely.
Much, Suzette. We appreciate
You're
that.
You're welcome. Sure. Thank you for having me.
A special thank you to the incredible team of the Empowerment Zone. Terry Ungully, theme song, NADWORKS, digital support, and of course, our featured guest.
If you enjoyed my podcast, please subscribe. We are on all of your favorite podcast platforms. Be sure to rate us on Apple Podcasts too. Thank you for your continued support.